ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20 as we're continuing our in-depth study of the Gospel of John, and we're moving now to the end. But as we've seen over the last few weeks, Jesus has been crucified, his body was placed in a tomb, and then 3 days later on a Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the grave. And he first appeared to Mary Magdalene and then the other woman. And the disciples of Jesus, these guys were still wondering what this was all about. They didn't really get it. They didn't really believe what they were told. Peter and John, when Mary had told them that the tomb is empty, they ran to it as quickly as possible. They saw the grave clothes laying there like an empty shell, and Peter didn't get it, but John knew something had happened, and I don't think he completely understood all that took place, but he had an idea, and yet he's going to find out that Jesus is alive. And here's the problem for the disciples of Jesus. They were fearful of the Jewish authorities, the Jewish religious leaders, maybe even the Romans. They might come and get them because they were accomplices with Jesus, but mostly the Jewish religious leaders. But what's interesting is back in John chapter 14, verses 27 and 28, listen to what Jesus told his men. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So why are they fearful here in John chapter 20? They're fearful because Jesus is gone. They're on their own. And they're wondering what's going to happen, especially the Jewish religious leaders I put Jesus to death, and now maybe they'll come after these guys. But Jesus says, don't fear. Be at peace. I'm going away, but that's not the end of the story. I'm coming back. But that was the farthest things from their minds. The problem is Jesus told them, right? I'm coming back. I'm going to be raised the third day. But they didn't believe that. All they knew or remembered was he's going to die. They didn't think he was going to rise from the grave, and yet here it is. It's happened. And so these guys, they had no peace. They just had fear of what the world, in a sense, was going to do to them for their relationship with Jesus. Again, John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." What was the problem here? The problem was they had their eyes focused on who? The world. And the world made them fearful. There was no peace. And Jesus is saying to them, look, you need to focus on me because that's where true peace is at. That's where lasting peace can be found. Let's face it, fear can be very paralyzing in our lives. You know, when I was hiking in Colorado, my son, his goal was not to kill his dad in these hikes, but I was on these mountain ledges. I was fearful. My son had to hold the back of my jacket because I thought I was going to fall off the mountain. Fear. And I have to say, he did make fun of me, but, you know, that's what your kids do. But let's face it, fear is a powerful force in our lives. I don't know if you probably heard of Black Bart. He was a professional thief, and just his name struck fear, and he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. And from San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. And between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. And you know what? He did it without firing a shot. He never shot anyone. Why? Because a hood hid his face. No victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and never was trailed by a sheriff. He used fear to paralyze his victims. And his sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. In our study here, I've called it Peace Be With You. And especially in the days we're living in, don't we need peace? We look to the world and we're fearful. We look to Jesus, he goes, Shalom, peace, right? And we need that peace of God because this world will never give us the peace we need in our lives. I've broken down the verses we're going to be looking at this morning into the following main points. And again, they're in your bulletin. Do not fear in John 20, verses 19 and 21. New Testament believers, John 20, verses 22 and 23. I want proof, John 20, verses 24 and 25. Thomas, it is me, John 20, verses 26 and 27. The worship of Jesus, John 20, verse 28, and believing is seeing, John 20, verse 29. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up in John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, and let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study his word and we look at the peace that Jesus has for us. John wrote this, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" You know, John doesn't tell us the meeting that Jesus had with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that's found in Luke chapter 24. But as he's walking with these two men, they didn't recognize him. And then Jesus asked him, "Why are you guys so sad?" And they're like, "Oh, don't you know our Lord was crucified? He was put to death." And they walked and they're going to their home and they invited Jesus over. And as they're walking, Jesus gives them a Bible study about the Messiah. Can you imagine what that was like? Man, those, you know, think about all the people in the Bible. Wouldn't you like to be one of these guys? I mean, Jesus doing a Bible study. And he goes and he's preparing to eat with them. And as he blesses the food, I think they see now the nail prints in his hand and they say, they know it's Jesus. And he leaves, he departs. And now it's Sunday evening, and all the disciples are in the room except for Thomas. He was absent, and Judas, of course, wasn't with them. He betrayed the Lord and hung himself. And here they are in this room, doors locked, because they feared what the Jews might do to them. Now, again, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, we think, what is wrong with you guys? I mean, how could you be in fear? Jesus said he's going to be raised the third day. It's the third day. Why in the world are you so why were they so fearful? Why didn't they just trust Jesus? And here's where we need to be honest with ourselves when we're reading the scriptures. Haven't we all felt that way from time to time? When we read these biblical stories of the children of Israel, the disciples of New Testament saints, we think, man, guys, just trust the Lord. What is wrong with you? Why are you so fearful? And then the Lord says, Joe, look in the mirror, because you do the same thing. You're no different. You become fearful when things happen in your life. And that's really important for us to understand that these stories are for us. God is writing to us, and he's showing us things that we need to deal with. I mean, think about the times in our life we let fear drive us instead of letting the Lord guide us. And really, we just need to put our eyes back on Jesus. The fear of the unknown is a huge fear in our lives. What's going to happen when I get older? Do I have enough money? What about my job? Am I going to get laid off? We have all kinds of fears in our lives. And my wife would say, she doesn't really say it anymore because the Lord's not going to answer this prayer, but she would say, you know, if the Lord would just tell me, give me a 5-year plan of what's going to happen, I'd be okay. Just tell me everything that's going to happen for 5 years. And no, the Lord says you need to walk by faith. Think about it. If the Lord told you everything you were going to encounter in your life, oh my gosh, we wouldn't do anything. I'm not doing that. That's going to be painful. The Lord brings us through tough things. He doesn't tell us they're going to happen. Why? So we could look to Him. We could trust in Him as we're going through them. And that's so important. But fear causes us to do some things that aren't good. Many, many years ago, many generations, I guess I should say, in the deserts of the wars of the Middle East, there was a spy who was captured and sentenced to death by a general of the Persian army. And the general is a man of intelligence and compassion, and he adopted a strange and unusual custom for these prisoners. He permitted the condemned person to make a choice. The prisoner could either face a firing squad or pass through the black door. As the moment of the execution drew near, the general ordered the spy to be brought before him for a short final interview, which the primary purpose was to receive the answer of the doomed man to the query. What shall it be, the firing squad or the black door? And not an easy decision. And prisoners would hesitate, they weren't sure, but many preferred the firing squad than the unknown horrors that might await them behind the mysterious door. So not long thereafter, a volley of shots in the courtyard announced that the grim sentence had been fulfilled. And the general, staring at his boots, turned to his aide and said, "You see how it is with men. They will always prefer the known to the unknown. It is characteristic of people to be afraid of the undefined, yet I give him his choice." Well, his aide said, "What lies behind the black door?" And this is what he said, "Freedom. And I've known only a few brave enough to take it." You see how fear drove them. And that's true in our lives. We walk by faith, not by sight. What's behind the door? Or I guess I should say, who is the door? It's Jesus Christ. And people are fearful to go through that. But we go through that door. We look to Him to be our peace. And again, you know, let's face it, there's nothing wrong with fear because fear warns us of danger. You know, it's kind of like pain. People have chest pain. Oh, it could be your heart. You need to get that checked, right? That's a good thing, that pain. Fear also warns us, hey, maybe I shouldn't go down this path, but always let the Lord guide you. And here, as these men are in this room, and you know, I can't imagine how they looked. Very painful expressions on their face, very sad. Maybe not even much talking. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus in the middle of the room. Now, that's pretty much of a shock. In fact, it was so much so that Luke tells us they thought they saw a ghost of Jesus. In Luke 24, verses 36 through 43. "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, 'Have you food here?' So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence." They still didn't believe. They still were wondering what this was all about. And keep in mind, the doors are locked, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. He came right through the door or whatever. So that means his resurrection body was different than his physical body. He was able to pass through walls and doors or other physical barriers, and it goes contrary to our laws of physics as we understand them. And he showed them, "Look, I'm not a ghost, not at all. Touch me. Look at my wounds that I received. and he ate with them. He wanted them to understand that he was real. You could touch him. You could eat with him. And here are these guys. They're fearful of the Jewish religious leaders coming and taking them away. Now fearful that Jesus is with them because this has blown their mind. What is interesting is the response of these men and the response that Mary had. Remember when Jesus said, "Mary." What did she do? She clung to him. These guys are still fearful. And what does he say? Shalom. Peace. Wow. You know, that is our Lord. God gives us comfort during the most difficult times if we look to him. He brings that comfort into our lives when we look to him. When we look at situations, many times they bring fear. But bring it to him. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? It was an assurance that, guys, there's no cause for you to fear any longer. Everything is okay. Peace be with you. And he shows them their wounds he received. They rejoice. And what does Jesus tell these guys to do? Build a church and start up a coffee shop there at the church? No. Start up a program to help people build up their fragile self-esteem? No. Maybe he told them not to do anything. Hey, you guys are saved. Don't worry about it. Victory at Calvary. Sit back, do nothing. He didn't say that. And you could put all kinds of things in there, what Jesus told them to do if you want. But this is what Jesus said. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We're supposed to bring the good news, the gospel message to a lost and dying world. That's our mission here. Because the world's dark, it is evil, but God can change all of that if we're willing to listen and obey his voice. It's called the Great Commission. We've made it the Great Omission. Hey, I've done my time, I've gone to church, and sometimes I even go on Thursdays. That's plenty. That's all the Lord wants. No. What we do here when we come to church is to worship God, to hear from him, and to encourage each other. But the work is not here. We are encouraged by as we read the Word of God and we understand what God wants for our lives. The work then is going out into the world and bringing the gospel message to the lost. Do you think they need it today? They absolutely do. But what happens many times is we put ourselves up on a pedestal, that ivory tower, you might say, and we look down at people. And look at what sinners they, look at what they're doing here. Look at this. But were we any different before we got saved? Oh, I wouldn't do that. You may not do that, but you're still a sinner separated from God. Do you think you're any better? No. And what the hippies were to the 70s and 80s, homosexuality, transgenderism, all this LGBTQRXZY, those are the people that we need to reach because they're lost. And they're trying to fill a void in their life with all kinds of perversion. And is it helping? No. And because this won't help, there'll be another thing that they bring into their life. We need to bring them the one who could give them peace, and that's Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, after his death and resurrection now, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus has been given this authority or official right over all of creation. Why? Because he's God. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That is what we're called to do. If getting saved for us was the end of it, the beginning and the end, then as soon as we get saved, we might as well just go home, right? Be with the Lord. What's our purpose here on earth? Our purpose is that we are the hands, the feet, the mouth to speak forth the gospel message. That's what we're called to do. But it's interesting how the church has changed and we've become an entertainment center thinking that that's going to help people. It doesn't. You know, I see all kinds of movies and stuff, and they're great, but really, how does it help me? It doesn't. It entertains me. Sports entertain me. I like watching them. But when I partake of the Word of God, it transforms me. And it shows me what I need to do. We are to go. In fact, the Greek word go is a participle, and it should be translated as you are going. As you go out into the world, you are a witness of Jesus Christ. The things you do, the things you say. And it's simple. You know, we don't have to be, you know Hebrew, Greek to share the gospel message. What is it? What is the gospel? Man is separated from God. Sin has separated man from God. And the only solution to that problem is Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross of Calvary and paid for our sins. And we need to repent of our sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. So people need to understand they're sinners. That's a hard one. You know, years ago, they wouldn't even talk about sin in the church because it was a bad word. Well, if you don't know you're a sinner, why do you need a Savior, right? It's pretty simple. It's not complicated. So you let them tell you that they're a sinner. You don't, you know, it's real easy if we do it, but they're going to get mad. Let them do it. Hey, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Oh, really? That's great. Have you ever lied? Well, everyone does. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, you know, come on, nothing big. Have you ever looked upon another person with lust in your eyes? Well, come on, you know, I just looked. Okay, so here you are. You're a lying thief who's committed adultery or fornication, right? So are you a good person? Well, I guess not. No one is. I'm not. You're not. No one is. And that's why Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's, you see, you don't have to get real big into theology. It's real simple. Sin separated man. Jesus came as the bridge builder. He died for our sins. That's what people need to hear. And then as you share your faith, if people come to that saving faith, then you need to teach them. That's our responsibility, to not only share the gospel, and this is where a lot of people get it wrong. They just want to share the gospel message, hand out tracts, go away. But if someone comes to know the Lord, you got to teach them. We have a discipleship booklet here that people can, you know, use, and it talks about the basics of Christianity, which they need to understand. So yeah, Jesus said to baptize them. Baptism doesn't save you, it identifies you with Christ. It's a symbolic thing, and it shows people that you're a new creation. As you're placed down into the waters, you are dead to that old life, and as you come out of those waters, you are brand new in Christ. That's the picture. That's why when we do baptisms, we do it in Lake Michigan, when we bring the worship team and we worship there, I share a message, and then we go out into the lake and baptize people, and people are always watching. You start playing music, people wonder what's going on. And they can hear the gospel message. They could see what's happening because it's a witness that that old life is gone and I'm brand new in Christ. So here's Jesus in this room with these men who are fearful, and he says, "Peace be with you. Do not fear." And as we're going to see as we read on, these men this night become New Testament believers. Look at verse 22 here in John 20. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." New Testament believers, weren't they saved already? Well, they were saved in the Old Testament sense. But now after the death and resurrection of Jesus, as Jesus is before them, they become New Testament believers. Now, I do understand some read this passage that Jesus breathed on them and they don't think anything happened. Now, John MacArthur believes that this is nothing more than a promise that the Holy Spirit would come in them. They would become New Testament believers at that point on the day of Pentecost.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.